once again, welcome. Just ask you to come and make your way back to your seat as we continue. Remember where you left off in your conversation. You can pick it up over a cup of coffee in a few minutes' time. So great that you're full of friendship this morning and talking to one another. Once again, welcome to Christ Central Church. My name is Joe Crummy, and I'm going to be speaking today. And so great to have you with us, and welcome to those who are joining us online. And just want to say a big thank you once again to our church family for allowing me to have time for sabbatical. And so I was away from Christmas till after March break. And so a great time just to be able to focus on some rest and some friendship and deepening my faith and time with family and everything. So I just want to say a big thank you to you again for that break. All right, well, this morning we're going to continue really from where Mark left off and Emma from Easter weekend. And if you're here on Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and Mark spoke last Sunday as it was Easter about this resurrection transformation. And does anyone remember the people who were transformed through the resurrection in the passage we read last week? So we had one that went from grief to good news. Does anyone remember who that is? Mary, thank you very much. Well done. Who went from fear to joy? The disciples? Man, great job here in the front row. Is anyone else getting those answers back there? Did I miss anyone? Who went from doubt to faith? So fast. So fast. Thomas. And this week, see if you can answer this one. Who went from selfish to stewardship? That is correct and not yet fully fulfilled. And I'm hoping, as Mark was last week, this week, we can kind of include ourselves in some of those categories. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus kind of takes us from something into something. And one of the things we want to take a look at today is just the whole topic of money and possessions and finances and materialism and consumerism, everything, because, folks, this is one of the big little g gods in our world, and it has been all the way through. Jesus talked about money more than anything else. Why? Because Jesus said this, you can't serve both God and money. So what's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying money, possessions, all the different terms we use for it, it's like a rival to God. That's how powerful these things are. And money affects all of us, whether we have a little or a lot, whether we have none, it affects us. Whether we have a lot, it affects us. It affects every one of us here this morning, whether you kind of realize it or not. And Jesus is saying there's a power to money and finances and materialism and consumers because it demands and wants your allegiance. It wants to say you can find your security, your identity, your happiness in money. And there's something within us that just wants a little bit more. Angela and I were talking this week, and I don't know if you heard about the guy here in New Brunswick who won $64 million. $64 million, you heard me correctly. So Angela and I were talking, and this is what Angela and I did. Angela and I were on a drive this week, and this is what we talked about. We were like, okay, can you imagine if we had $64 million, what would we do? And I just say, in 30 seconds, we spent $15 million. In 30 seconds. Well, we pay this off, we do this, we do that. Now, here's the great thing. Actually, I thought we were very unselfish as we dreamed about what we would do with that money. A lot of you would have new homes. A lot of you would have new cars. You're welcome. The more we talked, you know what? The more I felt better about myself. The more I was like, I'm a very unselfish person. If I had all this money, look at all the things I would do. I felt really good. But here's what we can do. We can think, if only I had, and it's true, it's like, oh man, if I had $64 million, no problem. I would be so generous. I would be so unselfish. And yet, when we look at our own finances, we kind of go, yeah, if I had $64 million, I could do this. But you know what? I can't really do anything with what I have right now. That's how I am. I don't know about you. What would you do with $64 million? What would you do with the money that God has provided for you right now? And that's what we want to sort of dive deeper into this morning, is that money affects every one of us. And we want to learn some things from God's Word. And we're going to see that God helps us. It's not just the willpower. Oh, if only, it's not just imaginary dreaming. If only I. No, God wants to help us with what He's provided for us. So let's take a look into God's Word. And we're going to read a passage from 1 Timothy together. And quite amazingly, we have a guy named Paul who, if we knew his story a bit more, if we had time to, actually was probably very, on one hand, very unselfish, and yet his heart wasn't right, and Jesus transformed his heart with that resurrection power that we're going to talk about. And Paul, at the end of his life, he's mentoring a guy named Timothy, who's sort of his apprentice, and he's writing to him instructions, and we're going to learn from what he says to Timothy. We're going to apply it and learn about it today. So I think the words are going to be on the screen. If you're able to read, why don't you just read this with me? It helps us to concentrate and to focus on it. So we're going to pick things up. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, and then the end, 17 to 20. Okay, so let's read this together. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Whew. All right. Well, I just want to briefly take a look at three things from that passage. There's so much. I mean, we could spend a lot of time on this passage. But the first thing I just want to take a look at is this. Point number one. When we come to this passage, we actually have to take some time to take an inventory of our life. And I thought it was interesting what Bob just shared during our worship time. It's just taking some time to be alone. And so what I'm asking you to do is, you can be thinking about it now, but you might actually have to take some time this week or this month. You might have to set aside some time to say, you know what, I need to take an inventory of my life. Because what we see is, from what Paul's starting to point out here, is like, here's the reality, folks. Paul's saying, folks, we bring nothing into the world, and when we die, we're not taking anything materially with us. That's a sobering, just think about that one for a minute. It reminds us of Job in the Old Testament, right? Who God had given a lot and then taken away, and Job's just saying, hey, I brought nothing into the world, I'm not taking anything. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whew. This is what the Bible, theologians call this common grace, that everything here on planet Earth is a gift from God. Angela's just talking about the breath in our lungs is a gift from God. That you have life today. The sun came up today. That God provides for you in many different ways. It's the grace of God upon our lives. Now here's the incredible thing. There's common grace for everyone. The Bible says the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. God provides. Whether people acknowledge it or not, God provides. But as we learned at Easter, here's the incredible thing. God wants to have a relationship with us. God doesn't want just something like us, kind of like just being thankful to nothing. God wants to relate. We're created in God's image. And as we saw at Easter, we realize that we're separated from God through our own selfishness. For our first parents, Adam and Eve, that separated us as they chose to disobey God. We choose to disobey God all the time, whether we admit it or not, big or small. We ignore God, we forget God, we rebel against God, we think we're God. That separates us. And God had to intervene on planet Earth, and he sent Jesus, his only son. And Jesus lived that perfect life. And on the cross that we saw on Good Friday, as Emma shared so well, Jesus humbled himself, even though he was God. And he took upon himself the sins of the world and the sins of you and I. He paid the penalty for the debt. And I saw, as Mark preached last Sunday, raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus in the resurrection defeated sin and the power of sin, defeated death, physical death, spiritual death. Jesus defeated Satan, the one who usurped Adam and Eve. Resurrection power and this transformation that comes. And here's, folks, if you don't get this part, the rest of what I'm going to say can seem like duty. It can seem like, I just can't do it. This is the key part. The Bible says this. When we put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, he saves us. He becomes our Lord, our Master. And the Bible says this, we're united with Christ. Hallelujah. We're united with Christ. And at baptism, we see as we go down under the water, says we're united with Christ in his death. And as we come up out of the water, we're united with Christ in his resurrection power. And the Bible says this, our old life dies, our old self dies, and we've been given new life. And the Bible says we're new creations in Christ, and we've been given a new heart. The Bible says, you know, we had a heart of stone, heart of flesh. He gives us his Holy Spirit, our helper, counselor, comforter, to come and live within us. He gives us new values. We're part of a new kingdom. It says we're born into a living hope. Hallelujah. We are united with Christ. And Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Folks, this is the crux of the message right here. Is that we have to understand when we're united with Christ, we're crucified with Christ. My old self no longer lives. I now am united with the resurrected Jesus. You know what that means? We are no longer free agents. We're no longer independent. We are no longer, I can live my life and all the money belongs to me and I might be able to give some. That's the attitude we have. And folks, here's the world that we live in. Here's the culture we live in. So let me break it down. And if you're under the age of 30, under the age of 25, if you're a teenager, this applies to all of us. This really applies because this is the culture you live in. Because everything in culture is going to scream against everything I'm saying. And here's why. Because culture has changed. The culture you are living in, because I'm old now, okay? So I can say you. The culture has changed that in my day, even in my day, and for hundreds of years before that, the culture is this. Truth and values were based on external things. And so that could be the Bible, that could be God, that could be government, that could be educational institutions, that can be a whole lot of different things. But there was truth and something external from you, and it could be your country, it could be your nation, helped determine your values. In the last 50 years, guess what? It's gone from external to internal. And we've talked about this before, haven't we? We're going to keep talking about it because this is the world we live in. So it's gone from external values to internal, so much so that this is really what the culture would say to you and to us today. We hear things like this. Number one, probably top two answers today is, listen to your heart and be true to yourself. So listen to your heart, be true to yourself. You're on your own journey. Only you can find it. You need to discover yourself and don't listen to external authority because they're out to get you. So everything I'm saying this morning screams against culture. The culture is saying, first of all, the Bible's an external authority. God's an external authority. The preacher is an external authority. So you don't have to listen. You got to find out for yourself. You got to look within, and you got to figure out. And it's okay to pick and choose. Well, I kind of like this about Jesus. I kind of like this about, and we get to decide. Now, hear me. Some of that's good, okay? Because sometimes external authorities haven't done well. So we know there's been abuse from church leaders. We know there's been abuse from coaches, government. And so part of that is actually a good thing. And we need to be accountable, all those different things. If you're in any position of authority and all of that, absolutely. So there's been a reaction. But folks, if you're a Christian and you're a follower of Jesus, you're united with Christ. And our old self, that independent free agent, we think that we're been crucified with Christ. That no longer lives. But now we've been united with Christ. Christ lives in me by his Holy Spirit. And here's the change that takes place. The whole of my life belongs to God. You see the switch that happens? So I could get up this morning and say, well, you know what? Give 10% to the church, do these different things, da da da, which has some truth to it. But that's not the starting point. The starting point is this. We're stewards of everything that God's given to us, and everything belongs to him. You see the change? So this affects, which is a whole other topic, this affects our body. Because the Bible says now that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just how are we taking care of our bodies, our bank accounts, our homes. Everything belongs to God. Your natural talents and abilities, the spiritual gifts God's given to you by his Holy Spirit, they're all to be used for him. To be a steward of this, you've been entrusted. You're to care for. You're to manage well. You're to supervise. So it's a bit like this. My mom, Lester, is now in her 80s. My dad's passed away. And my mom's getting older and some memory issues and all that. And so in order to help her, I have now power of attorney. So I legally represent my mom. So I have a bank card here, or a social bank card. Has my name on it, Joseph Crumming. But guess what? Everything that card in that bank account is my mom's. So it's in my name, and I have access to it, and I actually am entrusted to take care of it. So everything from my mom, making medical decisions, financial decisions, everyday decisions, I'm entrusted, along with Angela and my sister. And guess what? There's great responsibility that comes with that. Because there's temptation. You know what I could do? I could go out and spend all her life money, all of her bank account, for me. Because I have access. I could neglect her at the other end. I'm a steward. I'm entrusted with her resources to use them for her good. Folks, the analogy breaks down eventually. I get it. I hope you understand. I'm a steward of God's creation, just in general common grace that he's given to us. But as a follower of Jesus, I'm united with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Everything God has provided, I'm a steward. I'm entrusted to use it for God's purposes and his glory. And that's exciting as well. There's great responsibility, but folks, that's exciting. And so many times, the phrases that our culture uses are actually so close to what God wants. So it's not just following your heart, it's following your new heart that Jesus has given to you, led by the Holy Spirit. There is a path for you to discover that Jesus has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. And it's exciting that only God has for you, specifically each one of you, within his general will. We're so close. and yet so far with the things that our culture tells us. But folks, you're going to have to wrestle through, because even maybe some of the things I'm saying to you right now are going to rub up against you. And you're going to be like, who is this guy to be telling me what to do with my money? Because we're saying, as followers of Jesus, we don't make the final call. Jesus makes the final call. That's a radical change in perspective on the whole of our lives. So folks, this week, this is the main point. The other two are very quick. This is the main point. We need to do an inventory. First of all, can I just say, do you really know if you're a Christian or not? That's a really, because if this really isn't sitting well, then we got to maybe ask ourselves, why isn't this sitting well? That's part of the inventory. It's searching it, like, God, know my heart. Maybe it's more like, if only I had money, I would give it all away, but I don't have anything. What does God want you to do with what he's given to you? What are my motives for giving? All of those different things. That's the inventory that we're asking you to do this week. And folks, as we do an inventory, it comes to the second point. This is just very brief. I said, we can become intentional to make some changes by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I've taught on all these things before. Mark's taught them. Gary's taught on them. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. I can give you the dates of when we preached on some of these things. If you want to look them up more, you can just look at April of 2023, April of 2022. There's a theme here. That every spring, we do a teaching on money, giving, finances, because it's so important. And guess what? A year later, it erodes, and we're not where we were usually a year ago. Some of us have grown, hallelujah, but we come back to it because it's important every year to take at least a week and say, we get hit the reset button. And so we've done all these things before. We've talked about how we just need to be content in Jesus. Folks, Paul just said, oh man, do I ever wrestle with this. Paul says, actually, if you have food and clothing, and maybe housing's included in there, a roof overhead, you know what? We can be pretty content. That sounds good in theory. In reality, that is very difficult. Because I want the best food and the best clothing and the best house and the best car. And sometimes, we've talked about it before, following Jesus means, again, there's so much here. But a lot of times, it just means we can live below sort of our standard of living. We don't need the most expensive house. We don't need the most expensive car. We don't need the most expensive clothes. Or my identity in those things. That's all those things. Are we content in Jesus? Paul's very clear, we can be rich in good deeds. You might not have much money, but man, you can serve, you can help people. You can, there's so much you can do that's not dependent on money. Paul's saying, Jesus said it. Matthew 5, he's saying, look, let your light shine, be rich in good deeds, because that's going to glorify God, and it's going to point people to the source, which is Jesus. Paul says this, you can sow, this is in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, just so generously. Just so. So if you had seed and you're just scattering it, you're believing that you're going to have a big harvest. And he's saying, you can just sow money. You can sow good deeds. You can sow. There's a principle in it. And here's one thing I always have to point out, because this is a big one in North America especially. Because everything I'm preaching, you have to be able to preach in poor countries. You can't just preach it here in North America. So here's one of the things we have to realize, and this is a great tension. In the Old Testament, God's people is very clear. If you serve God, you're going to materially be blessed. The Old Testament's full of it. People of God, if you serve me, you serve me all your heart, guess what? Your crops are going to be blessed. Your land's going to be blessed. Your womb's going to be blessed. And guess what? Most of it happens. And it can be very convenient and a bit confusing for us here in North America to say, if I serve God, then I'm going to be blessed. And that is a great, great teaching. It's a popular teaching in Christianity here in North America. So if you sow and if you give, God's going to bless you tenfold, a hundredfold, everything. But sometimes that happens, and you've heard me say it again. You can't outgive God. A lot of times, as we give, God provides, absolutely. But here's the thing in the New Testament. Most of our blessings in the New Testament, God says this, the sound in Christ. And actually, contentment and peace and faith and joy. Because if you look at the life of Jesus, would you say Jesus was health, wealth, and prosperity? Jesus, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. I don't have a home. Betrayed, spat, gave up his life, poor, born into a poor family. Paul saying, I've learned what it is to be content. I've had a lot and I've had a little. And he's saying, I've learned the secret to everything, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And folks, Philippians 4:13, it's not just for football players when they run out into the field. Okay? That is not the context. It's saying what God has you to do, you're going to have to go through suffering and probably persecution. But the riches in Christ, you've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. So just be careful that you don't hear me saying, and I say so generously, you give $10, God's going to give you $100 this week. You know what? Sometimes he does. It's a weird, sometimes he does do that. But that's not our motive. God, we've been so richly blessed in Christ. I'm going to be content with you. We talk about this local church. If you went back one chapter, Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy 5. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, he says this. Give to your local church. This is your primary, if this is your church family, wherever you are in your local church, that is your primary source of teaching, community. Like, that's family. And God says to provide. And I know it sounds really prideful and greedy for me, who gets paid by the church, to say, please give to the church. There is a conflict of interest, I'm fully aware, okay? It's a biblical principle that we give to our local church first. And do we give 10%? Well, Old Testament, bring the tithes in the storehouse. We've always said this. New Testament seems like we're to be even more generous. The tithes are not even really talked about in the New Testament. All of our lives belong to God. And so for Angela and for us personally, 10% is the starting point to give above and beyond that into the local church. And then our offerings are above and beyond that. So we support Child Through Compassion Canada. We give to Gift Day. That's above and beyond our regular giving. We're able to bless other charities locally, internationally, all those different things, but we're just asking you give to the local church first on a regular basis. Grace. Folks, freely we receive. Jesus said this to his disciples. Freely we give. Folks, we're a thankful people. We've been given the gift of salvation, the greatest gift we can ever receive. We can freely. Okay, I'll just put up on the screen just for a second, just the practical details. You can take a photo of that if you want, of just different ways that you can give. An e-transfer, you can give through our website, christcentral.ca. For Amazon, we do electronic fund transfer, so there's a regular amount that goes out every month that's already in there. We have to adjust that once in a while. We can give above and beyond that. Today's our first Sunday of the month, so you can give check, cash, here, in person. And folks, please know again, as we have our annual meeting, in our we're accountable. We're accountable to the Canadian Revenue Agency. We're accountable to you. We have directors. We're audited. All those different things, so that you can understand where every penny goes in our church family. It's all open for you to see. We're accountable. We're under authority in these things. Last thing, we'll just finish with this. Encourage us to take an inventory of our lives. And we know that we're stewards, that we're united with Christ. We can be intentional in some of these things. The Holy Spirit helps us to line up with God's Word. It's not just theory. We have to put these things into practice. And then just thinking about the reality of investment is, how do we invest our time, our gifts, our money, our talent, our ability? And Paul says such a fascinating thing and follows up from what Jesus said this. There seems to be this dual blessing that comes in giving. Paul's saying, you know what? For those, and Paul's writing, I mean, we live in North America, like, again, even though I know some of us are struggling, and this is a diverse crowd. We've got people unemployed, we've got students, we've got people in double income. Like, folks, I understand we got a wide stretch here this morning. Okay? So it's hard. We're trying to give you some principles from God, but where we are. But overall, we live in Canada. We live in New Brunswick, we live in Fredericton. We are in the top percentile of the world of where we live. And if you've traveled at all around the world and have seen poverty, you realize even our poverty, I don't want to downplay it, but we really do live in a rich society. Folks, Fredericton is rich. And Paul's saying, it's interesting his thing, he's not saying all of you become poor and beggars and give away everything. Jesus said that to the rich young ruler. He didn't say that to everybody. He's saying, command those who are rich in this present age. First, don't put your trust in money. It's so uncertain. It can come and go. But he's saying, be rich in good deeds. Be generous. And what does he say? He says, you're storing up a treasure. You're laying a firm foundation. Folks, it's hard. We live in such a culture that's right now. Feed me. I want it now. It's hard to say, I'm thinking about the future by what I do today. Now, some of us can do that financially. Like, if we can put money away, we got interest, it's an investment. We're believing something's going to come better. But we're saying, as we invest in our good deeds, our finances, generosity, helping others, we're actually, at the same time, storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven that can't be destroyed. And Paul says this, it's an incredible line, isn't it? And you're actually going to take hold of life that is truly life. Folks, have you ever experienced what it is and the joy to actually give? God does something in our hearts because God's a giver. God does something in our hearts that when we bless somebody by giving something or paying for a meal or whatever it might be, they're like, yeah, this is what life's all about. There's something giving kind of helps us want to give even more. And Paul's saying we're storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven, and we're actually experiencing life as we give. Whew. So powerful. All right, just in closing. Paul says to Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Folks, I'm just saying to us, Christ Central Church, Fredericton, friends listening online, the same thing. Folks, let's guard together what God's entrusted to us. We've been united with Christ. We no longer are free agents. We're no longer, I get to make all the decisions. I'm just going to listen to what I believe is going to be true. That is not what Jesus is saying. We're united with Christ. Therefore, we line up now that Jesus is not just our Savior. Hallelujah, He is. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus, I'm going to follow you. You get to say, you get to determine. What do you want to do? Folks, this week, can I encourage you to take an inventory of our lives? Folks, it's hard. It's hard. You know what it's like trying to preach this message? You're like, oh, my soul. I got to take an inventory of my own life first. I don't have time to do that. Wrestling through, oh, God, I'm sorry. I've let some things slide. I've let some things slip, even my motives sometimes. Hard taking an inventory. Hard to regain being intentional on some of these things. folks, you know, honestly, like, do I really believe? Do I really honestly believe that what I do today has an effect in eternity? Am I really experiencing a life that's truly life by being generous? Am I being a good steward of what God has entrusted me / us? Folks, would you join with me this week in just really asking those questions, saying, Holy Spirit, search me, know me, help me. Folks, we can help one another. I've said this before. Money is a taboo thing to talk about. We don't like talking about it. Folks, we need to help one another. If we're in debt and you don't know what to do, reach out. No shame in that. If you're stuck on something, if you disagree with something, you can wrestle through in your life group this week. Folks, we can help one another. If you're able, why don't we stand? I just want to pray. We want to ask for God's help. Strategically, this is supposed to be a message that helps us get ready for gift day. It's so much bigger than gift day. The whole of our lives. Now, I hope you take some time this week to pray about our upcoming gift days, renovations. Isn't it exciting to see actually some fruit from the renovations? Not just demolition. We actually have some working washers. And they're nice. Hallelujah. We want to give in to these things. We want to give. And maybe God will help you this week. But I just want to pray. More importantly, we understand the whole of our lives belong to God. So Father in heaven, we just thank you that you're a generous God. You give us sun, you give us oxygen, you give us life every day. God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. God, that we can be united with Christ, that we can be given eternal life that begins now by knowing you, Jesus, and your Father. Thank you that you're such a generous God. And Father, we just say, Lord, that we want to model you and we want to be a generous people. But Lord, you know the world we live in. It's hard. God, we just say we need your help, Lord. We need your help to rearrange our priorities and our values, where we find our identity, where we find our security, where we find our happiness. God, we just confess, Lord, a lot of times it's not in you, Lord. It's from what we have, what we hope to get. Lord, we just say, Lord, help us today. God, may we be content in you. God, may we live countercultural to the world around us. Lord, that would bring you glory. Lord, that would be a witness to those around us. And that would bless this community. Lord, would you help us, Lord, to know that what the decisions we make today have eternal consequences. Lord, would you help us to be good stewards, Lord, that you've entrusted us with these things. Help us to bear fruit, Lord, as you help us. Lord, to your glory we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.